bringing you the best that wildlife has to offer here at Laurels Wood. This is Wildlife Whispers. Hello and welcome to Wildlife Whispers episode 4. Thanks again for finding us and downloading this latest episode. I can't believe we've got just over 300 downloads and streams of the podcast so far, about 100 a week, which I'm absolutely thrilled by. I wasn't sure if it was going to sort of go down particularly well, if it would be well received, but the feedback that I've been getting has been really, really lovely. So thank you to everyone who's got in touch and sent me a message or replied online or whatever it might have been. It's much appreciated, so thank you very much. Here's to plenty more episodes. So what's coming up today? Well, we'll be starting as we normally do with an update on all the wildlife activity that's happening here over the last week. I'll also be bringing you what I wanted to achieve with this podcast, which was making wildlife easy to watch for you at home. So if you're thinking about getting into it, about maybe creating your own little setup at home, how can you do that? So hopefully I have some really easy hints and tips for you a little bit later on. And of course, we'll have another question answered. So without further ado, let's get started. So let's start our roundup with the tawny owls. They're getting so close now. I think potential hatch date is around about next Friday, so maybe Friday the 12th of April. I can't believe it's been a month since they've been sitting on those. So yeah, really exciting time now. Things seem to be progressing really well. The male is bringing food for the female. The female's also going out and bringing her own food back as well, get a little bit of stretch of the wings and all that kind of thing. And the food, as you'll have seen from the posts, it varies enormously in size. Small rodents, and then yesterday, this massive, massive rat that was brought in, which would certainly keep the female going for a long time. So yeah, lots of food going in. The four eggs, she keeps shuffling them around and sort of turning them, rotating them and rotating her body around them as well, because she obviously gets bored sitting in one position all the time. So just, yeah, we're getting to the really, really exciting part now. Only a few days to go till potential hatching. I hope it works. Last year, three eggs hatched, I think. I might be wrong now. I'm just starting to think back. I know we certainly had two owlets fledge, but I think we had we did. One owlet sadly died in there. So three of the four eggs last year hatched, but only, yeah, two made it. So will they go better than that this year? Could four hatch? Oh, that'd be amazing if four did. We'll wait and find out. The barn owls, they're still going strong. There's still no real change from last week. We are starting to see a little bit more padding about in the box during the day, a bit more scraping during the day. But yeah, still mating, still. We've not had any food drops in from the male yet. Normally, just before sort of egg laying time, I've seen over the last few years that the male will bring a gift of some prey in the doorway. We've not seen that yet. So yeah, maybe they've still got a little while to go yet, if that's traditionally what they do before they lay an egg. We'll wait and find out. But yeah, nothing really changed from their perspective. Still both of them around. It's not been the greatest of weathers for them, to be honest, on a night time here. It's been very, very rainy. It's been quite windy as well, certainly for the beginning of April. But yeah, everything's still moving in the right direction. Still plenty to watch over the next few weeks and months. Now, thinking about the kestrel cam, oh, I so wanted this to be a kestrel cam this year. It was a sight last year, as I've mentioned before. But the jackdaws seem to have claimed it for the moment the old ash tree. The stock doves have shown a little bit of interest, but the jackdaws seem to be winning the day at the moment. Where are the kestrels? I've seen them around. Maybe they've decided at the moment it's not quite the right time for them, or perhaps they found another site nearby. But yeah, the jackdaws seem to be sitting pretty and taking that space at the moment. But then when we start to look at the the more garden bird element of the wildlife here. The blue tits, they're the masters of perfection. They're still working on getting that nest just right. There's been stuff again brought in this week, nesting material, and taken out again. And then they've been getting it kind of how they want it, but then rearranging it all again and putting it in a different configuration. So there's lots still going on. They're still not settled. They're still not complete by any stretch of the imagination. But someone once told me that apparently they time the completion of the nest and the incubation of the eggs to tie in with the maximum exposure to the bugs as the trees start to unfurl and their leaves start to come and blossoms and things like that. So because we seem to be a little bit further behind the rest of the country here with the trees coming out and bugs and all that kind of thing, maybe they're still not quite right to get to the egg-laying stage. So yeah, they're taking their time. They're just perfecting that nest for exactly how they want it for when the eggs eventually come along. But yeah, still going great guns, still looking really, really positive. So I'm hoping, yeah, for the second year, we're going to get hopefully a successful brood again in the blue tit box. The great tits, they're great roosters. Never mind anything else. They're still roosting in the box each night, but not, again, doing anything as yet. Although, very, very recent news. I was working in the office down towards the bottom of the garden, and I looked out of the window, and we've got one of these hanging bird boxes. It's styled in like a sort of a Swiss cottage-type design. And for the first time ever, I saw a great tit go in, spend a bit of time in there, and then come out again. So maybe there's no camera in that one, sadly, at all. But I didn't know if they'd take to the swinging one, but they seem to be quite liking it at the moment. So maybe there'll be a brood in that one as well. Who knows? But yeah, things still very, very positive. The tawny owls are probably the closest that we've got to any new activity. And hopefully by the time you listen to the next podcast episode, we might have some tawny owlets. So what I'd like to do is give you almost like a starter's guide into how to watch wildlife in a really, really easy way and straightforward way for you at home. So if you've been inspired by what you've seen here and you'd like to try it yourself, hopefully this next little section will give you some of the ideas and some of the answers to try and sort of recreate it at your own home. And probably one of the easiest setups to do at home, and a starter entry level sort of setup, this one is brilliant. And we'll start with like the garden bird nest cam. Now, it's no secret, I've been a massive fan of the Green Feathers cameras for a number of years. It's what I started out with, and I haven't needed to look elsewhere because they're just really straightforward to use. And very, very quick and easy to set up as well. So for people who are not massively technologically minded, they're absolutely brilliant. Now, there are two types of Green Feathers cameras that I've used here. I've used the Wi-Fi ones, where you simply tune it into your Wi-Fi and connect it to that. Or there's the Ethernet cable, the IP cameras. And I think if you're starting out, I think probably the Wi-Fi cameras are the easiest to get on board with, because as long as your Wi-Fi reaches where you want to put the box and you have like a power supply that you can feed the cable through, it's probably the easiest one without having to drill through walls for Ethernet cables and trying to connect a cable to your router. So I think if you're not wanting a lot of mess, for instance, the one on the front of our house, the blue tip box, that's a Wi-Fi camera, and the power cable just goes out of the kitchen window, and it's sort of, you can close the window and the cable's still in it, so you're all secure, but the cable just reaches outside. So dead easy. You don't have to then feed a whole cable through the house to get to the broadband router, which is actually in the middle of our house somewhere. So it works really, really well, the Wi-Fi one. And when it comes from the manufacturer, you just simply take the camera out. It's got a lovely little mount that you can that it's already attached to. And basically, I would recommend making sure it works, making sure it connects to your Wi-Fi and all that sort of thing before you actually mount it in the box. Because if you spend time getting it in the box and mounting it and all that kind of thing, and then it won't connect or it doesn't work for some reason, then you have to take it all to bits again. So yeah, when you get it out of the box, stand where you'd like it to be and make sure that it can connect to your Wi-Fi. I would also, at that point, insert the SD card, so like a little memory card that you can put in the camera. It's really good because it will allow the camera to record the footage for you so that you don't have to rely on any other equipment. It records it all to that little card, and then you access those recordings through the Green Feathers app that you can have on your phone. So yeah, when you've got it all working, and they give you brilliant step-by-step instructions, you sort of, you have to connect the camera then to the Wi-Fi, and then make sure once you've got the signal, then it goes back to the app and you see the preview screen. It's really, really straightforward. So follow the steps, get it all connected, insert your memory card, and then start to position it at that point inside the box. Now, I've got two different types of boxes here. I've got a slanted side view box, which kind of allows me to see the Nest side on. And I've also got the more traditional bird box, which is sort of like the vertical one, where you can sort of mount it in the roof or on the top of the back of the box inside to look down, directly down onto the Nest. I wanted to experiment with the side view one just because it gives you that sort of that different view. And if you position it carefully enough, you've got like the hole and the Nest. So you can see birds coming in and out and also the chicks sort of crying out for food. So it does give you that opportunity for a slightly different look. So depending on what you want to see with your garden birds, have a think about what type of box you would also like to mount the camera in. Now, this was a tip that I learned probably about 2 years into doing this. The lenses on the camera actually have a twiddly little bit, so like a twiddly collar. So make sure when you're positioning and screwing the mount for the camera into the box that you then twiddle that focus lens. Because I was infuriated at one point by things were not really, really very sharp. And a bird would go in, but it wouldn't look pin sharp. And my OCD, it couldn't handle that. So when you put your camera in the box, put something in the bottom, like a little coin or a little dice or something like that, where you can then twist the collar to get that really, really sharp focus. And then when you're happy and everything's set up, it looks really clear on the screen. You've got it so you can either see the hole and the Nest area, or you just maybe want to focus on the Nest area. When it's all in position, and then you can then put it on the wall and screw it shut, get the front panels back on again and things like that. And I think it's probably the easiest setup that you can start with. Obviously, it costs a little bit of money to get the camera in the first place and the box if you don't have one that you think a camera would fit in. But it's such a rewarding hobby. It gets addictive. Oh, dear me. I didn't think when I first started watching wildlife here that it would become so addictive. But it really, really does. And then when your box is in position, you've checked it works, all the Wi-Fi's connected, and you can see the picture brilliantly. Make sure you've got your alerts and notifications turned on the app. Because then what will happen is if a bird decides to visit, the camera notices that and sends a little message, a little notification to your phone or your iPad or whatever you happen to be using the app on. And I ended up silencing my notifications. I still get the notification, but because particularly at this time of year, every time there's a bird goes in, it goes ding, ding, ding. And so all day long, certainly during the daylight, it would be pinging all the time. So I turned that off. the sound off. Just I still get the notifications just to make sure that I know something's in there, but it's a lot quieter now. And then once you get your notification, you can have a look in the app and play back to those particular points. And if you've got a memory card in there, it will read those visits off the memory card and play the footage for you. And then it's a very, very simple. If you like that particular bit, you just press record. It will record that footage for you. You can stop it when you like. And then with one tap, you can save that to your camera roll. Really, really straightforward. Dead easy. There is a cloud service that you can buy into that Greenfeathers offers. But I think with the memory card system, that does me. That's enough for me. And I can just pull off the footage that I'd like. And yeah, I don't need to buy any kind of additional service. Another great feature of the camera is you can also share it with other people. So you can send an invitation to people's email addresses and they can view the camera as well. So it's not just for you. If you've maybe got a family member somewhere, maybe in a different country or up the road or whatever it might be, you can share the access to that camera with them. So yeah, I just think it's such a brilliant way to get into watching wildlife. And you don't have to have a massive garden. You don't have to have a lot of land or anything like that. As long as you have regular birds that kind of visit you and you think, oh, there must be some nests around here. It's such a fantastically easy way to start watching what you might not normally see. There are as well, and I didn't, again, something I learned a few years ago, there are different holes, metal rings that you can put on the front of your bird box. So if you want a particular type of bird, you can get a smaller ring that will only allow a certain breed of garden bird to go in, or you can get a slightly bigger ring that goes on the outside, and again, that will allow a slightly bigger bird into that nest box. And it also stops predation. We've had woodpeckers here that have attacked bird boxes before, and because they see the opening and they hear the chicks cheeping in the springtime, they will bash away at that hole, making it bigger so that they can get in and take those chicks. So if you have a metal ring, again, on the entrance of your bird box, it's a brilliant way of stopping predation from those type of birds, because obviously they can't hit their beak through metal. So again, have a good look around. There are websites that do them. I think eBay, there's people selling them on there as well. Different ring apertures for your bird boxes. If you want blue tits, it's a certain size ring. If you want great tits, it's another one. So yeah, have a good look around and decide what sort of bird it is that you would like to see. Choose the style of box that you want it to be, side on or vertical. And make sure you get your camera all working and all focused and everything like that before you mount it on the wall. So I hope that's been a really, really easy and straightforward guide, if you like, to getting into bird watching. And if you do, please send me some pictures and some videos, because I do love to see them. So yeah, good luck with that. Now, not content with hearing her own voice on the podcast last week, my little daughter is back again. She wanted to have another little go. So for this week's question, I will hand over to her.
This week's question comes from Ruby, and she says, I don't have a big garden, but I want to watch garden birds that visit my feeders. Is there any way I can watch them up closely? What do you reckon, Dad?
Thanks very much, little one. And I'm sure she'll be back probably wanting to do it again next week. We'll wait and see. But yeah, thanks, Ruby, for the question. Great question once again. And there are quite a few solutions to this that I can think of. I've got a Birdsy cam, which is the one that I use for the outdoor view of the barn owls here. And that's Birdsy, B-I-R-D-S-Y, Birdsy cam. And what that will do is it's a camera that you can connect to your Wi-Fi. So as long as your feeder's near your Wi-Fi and you can sort of get the Wi-Fi at that particular position wherever it is, and you've got a power socket outside, that is a fantastic way to watch the wildlife really close up on your feeders. You position it about 30 centimetres away for really detailed, clear shots of the birds. And not only will it record the footage and send you notifications when something's there, but it will also identify the birds as well. So you can create a little folder for like blackbirds, this is the blackbird footage, or robins, or great tits, or whatever might be visiting your feeders. You can sort of collect all those together. A fantastic little bit of kit. There are also other wildlife feeder cams that are out there on the market, again, they need to be waterproof, so that again, when you mount them from the side of your feeder, they'll send you alerts to your phone or things like that. And again, you need the Wi-Fi, you need the power to be able to operate one of those. Now, if you haven't got a power socket outside, but you still can get on the Wi-Fi, I found the Ring cameras, stick-up battery cams they are. I think that's what they're called, stick-up battery cams by Ring. And what you do is you charge them up and then you set them up on a pole or a bit of wood or something near your feeder. And it will record the footage for you. It will send it to your app on your phone. And you don't need that external power supply. So it's brilliant. If you haven't got an outdoor socket or you don't want to trail a camera through a window or whatever, then this is a brilliant way. Just relies on the Wi-Fi, as I say. And yes, you need to charge it up every now and again. It depends on how much activity on your feeders that you get. But you can also set recording schedules. So you don't have to record all day. You can just set it for a certain time. And things like that. So yeah, there are so many different ways you can do this really easily at home. Yes, again, there's a little bit of an outlay for the actual kit initially, and then you might need to charge up the camera every now and again if you go for the one of the Ring ones, but a fantastic way to see the birds up close in high definition. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. There's quite a few solutions out there. And yeah, if you get any footage again, please send it through because I love to see it. And if you have a question that you'd like the answer to, then don't forget, you can drop me an email at info@laurelswood.com and I'll answer as many as I can. So as we tiptoe ever closer to the end of another podcast episode, we've got plenty to look forward to over the next 7 days. By the time we get the next podcast episode, hopefully loads will have happened. Have the tawny owl's eggs hatched? That is going to be the big question of the week. Looking forward to finding out. Hopefully around about Friday, Friday the 12th, there might be a little bit of hatch action. So keep an eye on my social feeds and I'll bring you the news as soon as anything happens and develops there. But we'll catch up, yeah, on the podcast next week. Have the blue tits started to lay? Have they perfected that nest and got it exactly how they want it? The damp weather here, the forecast isn't looking good. Is that going to slow things down again this next week? We'll find out. And the great tits, are they still just great roosters? We'll find out in about 7 days' time. And have the jackdaws been evicted from the kestrel site? Are they still sitting pretty up in that ash tree, or have the kestrels managed to reclaim it for 2024? We will find out. And yeah, I know it's a lot of it's the favourite bird of a lot of the people that listen to this podcast. Are the barn owls going to be even closer to becoming parents for 2024? We will find all of that out in next week's episode. So all that remains for me to say is thank you once again for listening. 4 episodes in, it's amazing to know that people are really enjoying it. So thank you for all your feedback. Keep it coming because it makes it all worthwhile knowing that people are enjoying it. You can reach me with an email. It's info@laurelswood.com. That's info@laurelswood.com. You can get your live updates. So pretty much as things happen here by following Laurelswood on social media. And you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram and Twitter. Or X, whichever one you call it, want to call it. And please, when you listen to the podcast, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the latest episodes. And also, if you can just take a couple of minutes to leave me a review, that just helps expose the podcast that little bit further. So, as ever, thank you very much for listening and enjoy the wildlife wherever you are. Thanks for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.